We're going to begin here at the bottom of Zion Amud Bet, but the two dots, Tanur Banan. Dag Tamei Mashritz, Dag Tohor Matil Bitzim. So that was what we quoted earlier from the Braita to prove the fact that it could be that a Dag Tamei was carrying a Dag Tohor within it. Umar says, Kol Amolid Menik. Anything that gives birth also nurses, meaning a mammal. Chol Amaitil Bitzim Mlakeit Chutz Me'atalef. Anybody that gives birth to eggs then goes ahead and collects food on behalf of the babies or that which hatches from the eggs, except for the bat, even though it lays eggs, minik, it still nurses. Now, hadulfanim, sound like dolphins, and it's very possible that that's what they are over here. Parim v'rabim k'bnei adam. Now, the gears that we have in front of us is much easier, which means that they procreate like human beings. But everybody changes the girsa, Rashi's girsa, as well as the girsa of the Shita Mekubetz. It is parim rivavim mi bnei adam, that they can be impregnated by human beings. My dofanim. So what are these dofanim that we're speaking about here? Sam Rav Yehuda bnei yama, people of the sea. Rashi says bnei yama, dagim yesh bayam, shechetziam surat adam, vechetziam surat adag, half human, half fish. Mermaids, something of that effect, that can be impregnated by human beings. Tosafot and adulfanim parim ravim mi bnei adam. King girsat akuntris v'chein muchach v'tosefta, that this is the right girsa over here. And because of that, everybody has this issue about exactly what is it that we're talking about here. In terms of the dolphins being mammals, that is true, and that might be what they're speaking about over here, but that would be ki bnei adam. But once you say mi bnei adam, you obviously run into a much harder girsa. So the Gemara says, kol shebeitzav mi b'chutz molit, v'chol shebibifnim matil beitzim. So here is a siman that you can indicate about whether they have live birth, or whether they give birth through eggs, laying eggs. It depends on where the
testicles of the animal,
the bitzim of the individual, are found. If they're outside the body, then they give birth, live birth. If they're internal to the body, then they lay eggs. Ini, is that really true? V'amar Shmuel, avaz, a goose. V'avaz bar, and the wild goose. Kilayim zebezeh, you can't mate them because they are kilayim. V'avinim ba my time on. How does he know that they are? So Amar Abaye, zeb beitzav mi b'chutz, v'zeb beitzav mi b'pnim. Cases, or the reason is, they're anatomy is laid out differently, and therefore their beitzim of one is outside, beitzim of the other is inside. Problem is, tarvayu matil beitzim, we know both of them lay eggs. So that siman cannot be the indicator of whether it's a live birth or a beitzim. Ella, kol shezichruto mibachutz molid. Anybody whose genitals, member is on the outside, they give birth, live birth. Mibifnim, if it's on the inside, mitil beitzim. And so here by this, I think it's avazabar, where the beitzim are mibachutz, nevertheless, the genitalia or the member are the inside, and therefore it's meitil beitzim. Kol, shetesh mishol bayom, anything that procreates during the day, yolid bayom, gives birth during the day. Balayla, that procreates at night, yolid balayla, gives birth at night. Kol, shetesh mishol ben bayom ben balayla, if it's irrelevant when they procreate, yolid ben bayom ben balayla, they give birth both day and night. So here are examples. The shishel bayom, yoled bayom, tarnagol. That's the chicken. Balayla, yoled balayla, atalef is the bat. Tashmishel, ben bayom, ben balayla, yoled ben bayom, ben balayla is adam. Makol de damile. Man and anything similar to man. The mayin afkumina. Okay. What does this information do for us? Katarab mari, breder of kahano. The amara mari, breder of kahano. Bodok kina shel tarnagolim. He checked his coop, his chicken coop. Me'erev Yom Tov. And Erev Dev looks about Beitzai. He sees no eggs over there. The Machari Shkim. The next morning he gets up before daybreak. Mutzah Beitzah. And he sees there's an egg there. Muteret Be'achila B'Yom Tov. You can eat it on Yom Tov. If the egg was there in the morning, you know for certain that it was already born before Yom Tov, because the Tarnagolim only give birth during the daytime. You checked on Erev Yom Tov, you didn't see anything. You come the next morning before daybreak, and you see there's an egg there. Well, they don't lay eggs at night. So they only lay eggs during the day. Must have been there from Erev Yom Tov. Imar lo badak yafeh. Just say that he didn't check well. Falo badak yafeh. But we just said before, he went and checked, and he didn't see anything there. So imar yetzta ruba v'chazra habo. It's a case where the egg had come out already, a row of the egg had come out of the body, of the chicken, and then re-entered, went back in. Because Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Beitza, she had stad ruba me'er Rabbi Yom Tov, came out the robe before Rabbi Yom Tov, v'chozeret, and then it retracts back into the bird. Mutaret ochla Rabbi Yom Tov. You can eat a Yom Tov because that's already considered mukhan. It's considered as if it was out. And that's what Tosfot says over here. Imer diat stad ruba v'chozera mikan. Matirim niknot bitzim belel sheni shel yom tov shel galuyot. For that reason, we allow people to buy eggs on the yel sheni of yom tov shel galuyot chutz mishnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah, where we say it's kedusha achat arvichto. Now the fish is kedusha achatein, because over there it's kedusha achat, but where it's any time it's yom tov shnei yomim tovim shel galuyot, then we can be mekil, because it's either not yom tov. Or, if it is Yom Tov, it was already out beforehand. Because it was born during this first day of Yom Tov, daytime of Yom Tov. So either that was Yom Tov, and now it's Chol, so you can take it. Or, if today is Yom Tov, then that egg was already born on the first day of Yom Tov, on the day that was Chol. So either way, this egg is Mutar, because the chickens don't give birth at night, so there was no way that this egg was born tonight. There was no day it was born on the day, second day of Yom Tov. Tol shetashmisho v'iburo shaveh. Anyone who is act of procreation, as well as his gestation period, are equal. Yuladim umegadim zemizeh. They were able to crossbreed. Hakol mishamshim panim keneged orif. All the animals mate, copulate by mounting. The male faces the back of the female. Chutz mishlosha, there are three exceptions to that. Shemishamshim panim keneged panim, that copulate, procreate face to face. Ve'eluhin, these are the dag, adam, and nachash. Those are the three. Umayishna hani tlato. Why are these three the exception? Kiata Rabdimi Amrei b'Maroba. When Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, they says in Eretz Yisrael they say, "Ho v'dibra imahem shkina," because Hashem spoke to the three of them. Hashem spoke to man. That's not even a question. Hashem spoke to Nachash in Gan Eden, and Hashem spoke to the dag in the time of Yonah. Tana Gamal Achor Keneged Achor. The Gamal camel was the exception, which it's back to back in terms of procreation, so it's an exception to all of the rules. So now the Gemara here is going to go off onto a long list of items and difficult Gemara. A lot of it, Agadato, going to try to use the Maharsha. Mashar himself asks on the Gemara, he says a lot of people had trouble with this Gemara, difficulties with this Gemara, and therefore I'm coming to explain it. And the Maharsha has like almost a full page, you know, two columns worth of explanation here. So we'll do our best to integrate that into the explanation, but this is a daf that we say, Kore Mekabel Schar. We learn it to Mekabel Schar even if we don't totally understand what's going on. So Tana Rabbanan, Tanagolet Lesrim Vechad Yom. Gestation period of a chicken is 21 days. Ukenegda Bi'ilan. And now the Gemara is going to do this with each of these animals, that there's an equivalent, quote unquote, gestation by trees. From the time that they bud until they give fruit, that same period is going to match up with the behemah. So over here, the tarnagolet, the chicken, 21-day gestation period, kenegda beilan luz. So the luz, Rashi calls it a kruldula, shkedelim bo egozim ktanim. It grows some small nuts on it. Tosafot says the luz is the shkedia, that it's the almond. So the shaked almond makes a lot of sense because we know that it is mimaheret to have the fruit. It's the first one that brings fruit, first one blossoms. So that would make sense that here it's in the smallest gestation period of 21 days. Hazelnut in Hebrew? I don't know if that's what krodala is over here. It could be. Kelev l'chamishim yom. Kelev is 50 days. Uknegdo be'ilan te'ina. And the equivalent in the tree is the fig that has a 50-day period. Chatul, the cat is l'chamishim vishnaim yom, 52 days. Uknegdo be'ilan, and similar in the tree, is the tut. It's a tut, which I think is the mulberry tree. Chazir, pigs, the shishim yom, 60-day gestation period. Negdoba ilan is the tapuach, the apple. Shu'al, the chomine shiratzim, the fox, and all other creepy crawly things. Shisha chodoshim, 6 months. Uknegdam bilan tvua. And with them in the trees is tvua. Tvua over here is obviously not a tree. Tvua is grain. So Rashi here quotes the Agadato with regards to Adam HaRishon. By Adam HaRishon, it says, what was the Eitz HaDaat? One of the opinions of what the Eitz HaDaat was that it was tvua, that it was chita, it was wheat. So based on that, he's saying that here tvua means a tree. From that, Tosfot says, don't prove anything from this with regards to the brachot, because if you don't know what the tut is, And with regards to the tut, you want to prove to me here it's Bor Pei Eitz because it's called an Ilan. You just saw the Gemara called Tavua an Ilan. Tavua, we know, is Borei Mine Mizanot. And here the Gemara is calling it an Ilan. So don't prove to me anything about tut. What is interesting later on in the Tosafot is, Alma Karei Tavua Ilan, Velo Mevarchim Em Bor Pei Eitz. Umiu. Tutim Agdelim Bilan. These berries that grow on the tree, Mevarchim Bor Pei Eitz. Those are the mulberries, berries that grow on trees. Avalo Atutei Sadeh. Tutei Sadeh, strawberries, the ones that grow on the vines on the ground, he says you make a borei pri ha'adama. Ilan ha'tut is a mulberry that grows on a tree. He says the difference is that the tut sadeh, the shakal the pera, if you take pick the fruit of the strawberries, lohadar gavzo, it doesn't go back. That area where you pick the fruit, nothing comes back there. It's done. Meipik, vein mevarchi borei, it's elik yadar gavzo meipik. That only when it's a something that replenishes, that the branch goes back again and gives fruit over and over again, that's not true by the strawberries. You pick the fruit from that branch, it never produces fruit again. Behema daka, tehura, v'chamisha chodoshim. 5 months for the domesticated animals that are of the smaller, like sheep, goats, that sort. Uknegdan bi'ilan gefen. That's like the vine of the grape. It takes 5 months to produce its fruit. Behema gasat me'a, talking about large, domesticated, non-kosher animals, 12 chodesh, 12 months. Kunekdo b'ilan, dekel. The equivalent in the trees is the date tree, the palm tree. Tehora, so these are large, kosher animals. Etisha chodeshim, 9 months of gestation. Kunekda b'ilan, zayit. The equivalent in the trees is the zayit, is the olive. Hazeev, v'arei, v'adov, v'namer, v'bardalis, v'apil, v'akof, v'kipuf. So you have the lion, the bear, the leopard, Bardalas. Not clear what that is, whether it's a spotted leopard, a hyena. Tosfot deals with it here a little bit. Hapil, elephant. Kof is a monkey. A kipuf, also not clear what the kipuf is. Rashi calls it over here. It's an ape with a long tail. Ke'in kofu v'yesh bazanav is a long-tailed ape. Tosfot brings down that there's an alternative girsa, that it's like the kipod, which would make it into a porcupine. Or kipuf achar mina'of, or there's also a kipuf that is in the birds. So I'm not sure, the identity is not clear over here. We'll go with the long-tailed ape that Rashi gives us. L'shlosh shanim, they take 3 years to gestation. Negdan b'ilan, and in the trees you have the same thing, which is the benot shuach. Benot shuach are the white figs, and they take 3 years. That shows up in the Mishnayot, in Zraim, in terms of things like Shemitah and Maisrot, that the fruits are chonet in 1 year, but they're not ripe for another, till the 3rd year afterwards. Af'a is a viper, the Shiv'im Shana, 70 years. Uchnegdo b'ilan, and someone in the tree is the Charuv, is the carob tree. It's also for 70 years. Now, by the carob tree, and we know this from the Agadata by Choni Amagal, that it's 70 years is from the time that it's planted to the time it produces fruit. Because there in that story, he asked the individual, why did you plant the tree? You're not going to get any benefit from it. He says, just like my grandfather planted the tree so I would benefit from it too, I'm planting this tree so my grandchildren get benefit from it. And then we know that Choni Amagal fell asleep, and he wakes up, and he bumps into the grandson who's eating from the tree. He's like a Rip Van Winkle, and he shows up at another time, and he has a very hard time. But that story is all about the Charuv. Charuv zeh, misha nitato, adshad gmar perotav. When we're talking about this carob, we're talking about the time it's planted until it produces fruit, shivim shana. Vimei iburo, the amount of time that it's ibur's gestation is shlosh shanim, 3 years. And then it has fruit every 3 years. Nachash, l'sheva shanim. Nachash takes 7 years of gestation. Ulo rasha lo matzinu chaver. And because the snake, obviously because of what it did in the Gan Eden and the difficulties that it caused for the world, he doesn't have anybody in the trees that is similar to him. Yeshomrim, some say that it's the mekusasim, which are again, mekusasim is not clear what they are, they're figs, but they seem to be figs that are even inferior to the bnot shuach. The bnot shuach are these white figs that aren't great. These are even poorer figs. What the Marsha points out over here is that the Deyah that in Gan Eden, the Eitzadat was Te'inim, therefore the Te'ina here, these poor quality Te'inim, are what match up with the Nachash. Mesit, as well as the tree that caused the problem, here's the Nachash and the figs. So, how do you know this is true? So, I'm Rav Yudam Rav, Umotaba Mishum Rav Shua Ben Chananya Shnemar, Arur Ata Mikol HaBeima Umikol Chayat HaSadeh. You are cursed from all animals and all wild animals. If you are cursed from all animals, domesticated behemoth versus the wild animals, certainly aren't you? the gestation of the behemoth is longer, so why do you have to curse him also from the chayot? It's already included in behemah. Just like the behemah was cursed more than the chaya, echad the shiva on a ratio of 7-1, umaynihu. What's the 7-1 ratio? Chamor mechatul. When you're talking about a donkey versus a cat. Because a cat, we saw before, its gestation period was 52 days. And if you take 52 days times 7, you get 350 plus 14 is 364, which is kimat a year. And the chamor was 1 year. So if I take that relationship of 1 year to 52 days, I get a multiple of 7. So kach nitkalel hu mi behemah achat l'sheva. And therefore, he's also cursed 1-7 on a ratio between the behemoth that take 1 year. So if they take 1 year, 7 times that is 7 years. Shani, and that's how we get to 7 years. So why don't we say ema kashem shenit kalala chaya mi behemah achat l'shalosh? Why don't we say it just like the chayot are on a ratio of 1-3 from the behemoth? Shanim, mainihu, and what's that? The ari, the lion we saw was in the 3 year gestation period. Mechamor, which was 1 year. So why don't we say, katnit kalel hu mechaya achat l'shalosh? And he'll be on a 1-3 ratio, shloshanim. Davilei sheshanim. So if he's on 1-3 ratio times the ari, which is 3 years, he'll end up with 9 years. Why don't we say that? It says it doesn't fit into the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, miktiv mikol achaya umikol ha-behema. It's not the relationship of the chaya to the behema, but rather it's mikol ha-behema umikol chaya. It's the other way around, the relationship, that it's the behema that is more than the chaya. We're not looking for the wild animal, the chaya, that's more than the behema, which would have been the ari versus the chamor, but rather the other way around, the chamor versus something else, and therefore it's the chamor versus the chatul. Now Gemara says, Ketiv arur hu mi behema shenit kalala mi chaya behema, kishem shenit kalala bi behema mi chaya echad l'shalosh. Why don't you take another pair of animals? We have it's 1-3, umayniu, eiz mi chatul. Right, the eiz was only 5 months, and the chatul was 52 days. So in that relationship, it's a 1-3 relationship. 5 months is 150 days. And 52 days times 3 is about roughly 156 days. Kat nitkalahu mi b'me'ah chadashalosh. Do 1-3. Davale, chameshar yarche. If I do that, 3 times the 5 months of the A's would end up with 15 months. So ibay teima mikhol habehema k'tiv. Means of all animals. He's got to be in the greater than all other animals. He's got to be mikol behema, he's got to be greater. So v'ibay teima, klolahu dekala shada eloi. So he says it's a curse. So we look to maximize the curse. We're going to maximize the curse. We're going to get him to 7 years and not 15 months. All right, here begins the difficulty of the Gemara, though it does relate back to what we just did in the Gemara, and it'll go all the way through to the Mishnah on the top of the next Amud. Again, we'll do our best to try to bring some insight into it. Samalei Kezar, the Rabbi Shua ben Chananyo. Nachash lekama mi'aber umolit. How long is the gestation period of the snake? Samalei, the Shev Shani. He answers, he knows Chazal, he has the Nesilra, 7 years. He says, v'ha save de Beatuna. Says the elders of Beatuna, sounds like the Athenian Athens. The Athenian elders say, arvinu, they went ahead and they mated them, voldi the tzlat, and it gave birth after 3 years. Says Hanu me'abre havu mikara dalet shnin. They were already pregnant for 4 years. V'ha kamasham shishimushe. Weren't they procreating, copulating? Animals, once they are pregnant, will not procreate anymore. But here, they put them together and they were mating the snakes. Says inu nami mishamshe ki adam. They're like human beings that even after the female is pregnant, they still procreate. So v'ha hachameinu. Aren't they wise men? And if they are wise men, why is it that they didn't know this information? It says, Anan, chakaminan, minayu. We are smarter than them. So he says, then, ichakimat, if you're so smart, zil zachinu vaitinuli. Go win, go have a debate with them, and bring them over here, bring them over to me. So he says, then, amalei, kam havu. He says, how many of these elders are there? Shitin gavri. He says, there's 60 of these elders. Amalei, avidli spinoto, tidba shitin bate. Make for me a boat that has 60 chambers in it, 60 rooms in it, but called beta, and each one of those chambers, itba shitin bistarke. And each one of them should have 60 seats or cushions in it. So avale, he did that. Tekezer did this. Look, this already started down a path of what's going on here. Mashiach explains that the argument here is about which is more important, chachmat elukit or chachmat teva. So the Athenian elders believe in chachmat teva, And therefore, they came up with 3 years. They say, based on Teva, based on what is going on in the world, the snake should be 3 years. But he says to them, Chachmat Elukit is greater. Godly wisdom is greater. And we know, because of what transpired in Gan Eden, because of the snake, that we know that it's 7 years. So true. Mechachmat Teva, if you were just to think within the rules of Teva, it should have been 3 years. But because Chachmat Elukit sits above that, and there are other issues involved here, including what had transpired before with the Nachash, therefore, in this case, it's 7 years. And so this argument about whether there's Chachmat Elukit versus Chachmat Teva is what's about to transpire here. He's going to go to Athens, and he's going to have a debate with them about this issue, as well as the standing of the Jews in the world, the relationship of the Jews with Torah and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so on and so forth. And that's what we're about to proceed on here. So he got there. He went to a butcher. He saw this individual was, sounds like shechting or cutting up animals. He goes, is your head for sale? Gave him the half zuz. And we're missing a part of the Gemara. If you see over here that store, says, Havli reshech. So he says, give me the head. So yaiv lei. Chad resha dechiyuta. He gave him one of the animal heads that he had purchased. I didn't say the head of an animal. I said a head, your head, really, I said. So he had him trapped here. Amar lei, ibayit di ishbach. If you want me to leave you alone, I bought your head here. So if you want me to leave you alone, sagi achvili pitcha de beatuna. Go show me the entrance way to where the elders of Athens sit. So amar lei, mistafina. Says, I'm a little afraid. Whoever shows where the entrance is gets killed. Dari kricha de kanyo. Put a bundle of reeds on your shoulder. When you get to that place, zakfo, stand it up, kimanta mitpach, as if you're resting. So azal. So he went and they did this plan and he goes to the doorway. Ashkach. Now he finds the rabbanaimi gavai. The rabbanaimi bra. He finds that there are guards on the inside and guards on the outside. The chazakara de ailo. If the elders see that there are footprints going into the academy, katlihu the bride, they kill the outer guards. Udinafka, if they see footprints that show somebody left the academy, katlihu the gavai, they kill the inner security. So over here they have, and what actually describes over here is what we, you know, here in Israel, what we do today, which is that they had sand on the floor by the doorway. So there were two doorways, a long doorway. Inside the frame of the doorway, they put sand down. So they would know anybody who walked in. So if they saw footprints that went from one end of the doorway to the other end of the doorway, they would know that somebody left the academy, or the other way around, if they came into the academy, and they would kill them, depending on which guards had failed. So what does he do? Apcho de sandale. He turns his shoes backwards, and he walks in to the inner doorway. When he gets into the inner one, the guards inside push him back out. You're allowed to walk over there, but they push him back out. So he walks back out, and now he's standing on the outside. But when he's standing on the outside, the footprints look like they came from the inside because they're facing out. So katlihu the gavai, the elder, they kill all the inner guards. So apcha the sandalay, then he went the other way. And katlihu the kulu, he ended up killing the inner ones. I mean, they had footprints going in, footprints going out, and each time he stood on the other side of the doorway, so it looked like he had walked all the way through, and they killed the guards. So azal ashkach, then he gets inside, and he sees that yunoke mila'el, the younger wise men are up top, sabe militachat, and the wise men, the older wise men are in the bottom, or towards the lower area. Amar, iya yavina shlama lahane, katladi, hane. If I say it high to the older ones, then the younger ones are going to kill me, sabe anana dafinan. So that they'll say, oh, we're better because we're on top. If we're on top, why don't you say hi to us first? If I go the other way, and that's what's missing from the gear, so over here, if they go the other way, and he says hi to the younger ones first, the elders will say, why don't you say hi to us? Right. Dana kashinan tve. That we are older, why don't you say this? Vein and darki, and those guys are just the young whippersnappers. So he, in the end, says, I'll solve the problem, sham lochu. Hello to everybody. Welcome, everybody. Samulei, mavitich. What are you doing over here? Amar lo, chakimi de yudai ano. I'm a wise man of the Jews. Bino the Migmar Chachmato Miknaichu, and came to learn wisdom from you. Siyachi, Nibai Loch. If that's the case, let us ask you some questions. Samadu Lechayeh, go ahead. That's it. This is the deal. Izachituli, if we are in this debate, in this exchange here, if you beat me, Kol Debi'itu Avidubi, you can do what you want with me. Vizachina Bechu, but if I beat you, Ichlu Gabai Bisfinato, you'll come and join me for a meal in my boat. So here begins this story. It's all in cryptic lashon, back and forth, remazim, this, that, and this is what the Marsha says. It sounds like it's a joke, the whole thing. Even the whole premise of what we started with over here, he says, what, he's willing to give up his life over here about a debate, about something silly you're going to see in a minute. It doesn't make so much sense. So that's why he says it must be these are fundamental questions that they're arguing about. The first question they asked him, how gabra the azel ubay yitatol? Person wants to go and marry a woman. He went to ask the hand of this woman in marriage, and they won't give it to him. They say, you're not good enough. What do you think of this guy if he goes now, and he makes his next attempt at marrying a woman, he goes to someone who is more miuchas. So here he got rejected by a certain woman because he wasn't up to par, he wasn't on their level. So now what should be the next thing that he does? He's going to go to someone who is more miuchas? No. So it goes to someone less miuchas. So the question, according to the Mashah here is, how did Hashem give the Torah? He was magzirit to kol ha'amim. He went around to Seir, he went around to Ishmael, he went to each of the nations, offered them the Torah, they rejected it. Who finally took the Torah? B'nai Yisrael. So if Hashem was going around, and then reject, and then accept, that means, or the implications from that are, that B'nai Yisrael must be less miuchas than everybody else. Because every time Hashem got rejected for a partner, you don't go up in Yichus, you go down in Yichus. That means that the Jews must be the lowest of the Yichus. So he says, no. Shakol sichto. He takes a peg. Datsa l'tatai. He tries to smash it into the lower part of the wall. Lo al. Doesn't go in. Lilai. He takes the peg and smashes it on the upper part of the wall. Al. It goes in. So now, that's obviously because of the weight of the wall. The weight of the wall is too much weight down below, so you can't get the peg in. Up above, there's less weight on the wall, you can get it in. So here again, the Marsha says that when you deal with the peg is something that's kol tolerable. You hang things on it. So it's only functional when it's high up, a peg. You put a peg in the wall, low down, does no function, doesn't do anything for you. Up above, high on the wall, it does something for you. So that means, it's just like the Torah, that kol olam is toled by the Torah, must be that it's given to someone as miuchas, have high, otherwise it won't be useful. And his answer is, Amar, hai nami mitrami bat mazle. Sometimes, with shiduchim, you just gotta find the right match. And so over here, he found the right match. Not about yichus, just the first one wasn't the right match. Sometimes it happens that the more miuchas is a better match. And therefore, you can go up and not down. So that's his answer back. So now, next. Gavro de osif vitarif. It's a person that borrows vitarif, and then they can't collect back from him. He doesn't repay the loan. And he has to go and collect from the buyers of his property. He has to exercise his lien on his property and then come and collect. My chazad hadar osif. Is he going to lend him again? So here, again, the Marsha suggests that B'nai Yisrael, say that they were the first chosen nation. If they were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were like borrowers, but then they failed because they were choteh, and Hashem had to throw them out of their land. He has to punish them. Now they're downtrodden. So there Hashem gave them a chance, gave them the Torah, and they failed. They didn't pay it back. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. What? Hashem's going to take them back again? You're going to suggest that the Jews will reemerge as a powerful entity, that Hashem will take them back as Zman HaMashiach? Doesn't make sense. If you get burnt the first time, you don't do it the second time. So to over here, HaKadosh Baruch would say the same thing. He got burnt by me, so he's not going to go back. He says, Amalu, Gavro Azol Le'agmo, person who goes out into the forest, Katol, Kamo tuna velo matzibin. He was instructed by his adon, his master, to go out into the forest, cut down wood, bring it back. So he starts to cut down the wood, but he can't lift the wood. He's unable to bring the wood back because it's too heavy. What should he do? Not do this? He should just sit around and do nothing? No, he goes ahead and he waits until katil manuchalayu. He says, all right, nobody's here to help me out. What I'll do is I'll keep cutting wood and piling on top. Adi dramin inish. And then Mildele, until someone shows up, can help me carry it. So the same thing over here, but the Jews. The Jews now are in Galut. True, they're not on Andaman. They can't do the mitzvot of Tuliot Varetz. They can't do the mitzvot that are connected to the Mikdash. They can't do everything they're supposed to do. But, what do? Until the time that we are returned to our land, the Mashiach comes, we do what we can do. Meaning that we'll build up, and then Hashem will send us the Redeemer, the one who can carry us, the Mashiach, and then we'll be able to return to do everything fully. Samarle, Emelan Mile Dibidai. Tell us like a joke or some joke. Samarlo, hava hahu kundinita. There was this mule, Diyalida, that gave birth. Vitalile pitka, and then around its neck was tied a note. Vikata bay, the misik bebe abba mea alpha zuze. That it owes 100,000 zuz to its father. Samarle, they said back to him, Vikudnita miyaldo? Do mules give birth. Mules are sterile by definition. They're a product of a horse and a donkey, but they don't reproduce. So I'm a little, I know mila to be that. You ask me to tell things that are a joke. So I did that for you. So he said to them, and this is the indication from the Marsha, which is, you are compared to the mule, to the donkey, and the non-Jewish nations that we saw before, that are compared to the donkey, and you want to suggest that you are the chosen one, that you are the ones that should be carrying the flag of a Kaddish Baruch Hu and not the Jews anymore. He says that the mules don't give birth. Mules don't reproduce. You can't be the chosen people now. You can't be the leaders because you don't give birth. There's nothing from you. There's nothing that issues forth from you, from the mules. And number two, and you have a tag around you that says you owe your father 100,000 zuz. It can't be that those that are the children, those that they're secondary, are going to be somehow on top, because they're in debt to the father. Meaning that it's the chosen ones, the ones that are above, that are the appropriate ones over here. So then they come back to him. They say, milcha kisario, salt, when it goes bad, but by malchile, then what do you salt it with? Salt goes bad, how do you salt it? So over here again, milch refers to the Jews, because brit melach, olam, that like just like he's suggesting over here, that the covenant with the Jews will last forever. So they're saying to him, what happens when the salt goes bad? What do you do with it? Some of them, amalahu, besilta de kudinita. You throw on it the placenta, the afterbirth of a mule. They said back to him, umika silta de kudinita. They said back to him, wait, there can't be an afterbirth to a mule, because mules don't give birth. So he says, back to them, umilcha, mi sari. Since when does salt go bad? So the idea being the salt of the brit melach, being the permanent covenant between the Jews and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they were suggesting that that covenant had been breached, and therefore the Jews are no longer the chosen people. And he says to them, oh, well, no problem. We can fix that problem by throwing on the placenta of the mule. So once again, the mule representing the other nations. So the mule representing the nations doesn't give birth. So he says, throw the placenta on top, and that'll cure the problem. So they say, well, they don't have a placenta. So he says, very good. That's right. The mule can't be the one who carries the torch of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And just like the mule doesn't give birth, salt doesn't go bad. The permanent covenant between the Jews and a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not broken. So Benilan, they said to him, Benilan Beita Bavira, build us a house that's suspended in the air. Talmud. Amar, shame. He said the shame Hashem, the shame of Furash. Tala ben Rekiel Ara, who's hanging out between the heavens and the earth. Amalo. Pass me the bricks and the clay, so that I can build it. And obviously, since they couldn't pass him the bricks and the clay, he wasn't obligated to build it. So once again, the claim against the Jews is, you suggest that you are the chosen nation, but you're missing your land, and you're missing the Beit HaMikdash. They said, if you're not on your land, you're not by the Beit HaMikdash, then how can it be that you're the chosen people? Because you're not with your Shekhinah, you're not with the Kodesh Baruch anymore, he threw you out. So he goes ahead and he puts himself, he does the Shem Hashem, and he puts himself up in the air. And he shows that a Jew can be in Kodesh with the Kodesh Baruch anywhere. That a Kodesh Baruch is not limited, the presence of Hashem is not limited to a single place on earth. It's not limited to where the Mikdash or Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem is Hu Makom Shel Olam. He's everywhere in the world, and since he's everywhere in the world, so too, the Bnei Yisrael, wherever they're found, can have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, no matter where they are. They say to him, Mitziyata de Alma Hecho, where's the middle of the world? Zakfa de Tzvate, put his fingers up, Amalei Hocha, right here. So Amalei, Umi Yemar, how do you know that? How can you prove that? So he says, Aitu Ashley, bring me ropes, so Mashkun will measure it. So again, here, there's a disagreement about the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're asking where the center of the world is, where is Hashem found? And that there must be a specific location where Hashem is found. So he says, right here. So they said to him, how do you know he's right? How do you know that it's the middle of the world right here? So he says, bring me ropes and we'll measure it. Meaning that you can't measure it, you can't find, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not a corporeal being. He is Makomo Shel Olam, he's found everywhere in the world. And therefore, you can, anywhere you point, that could be the center of the world, that where could be where Hashem is found. And you can't prove otherwise, because you can't bring in the ropes to measure otherwise, to show otherwise. Meaning that you're looking for something physical, and I'm talking about Hu Makom Shel Olam. He's everywhere in the world. Itlan Beira B'dabro. They said to him, we have a well, or a pit, out in the field. Ilo Lamato. Bring it into the city. So he says, Bektam, Amalei Afshilu Li Chavlei, Mi Pare. Make me ropes out of bran. Viole. I will bring it into the city. And just, of course, just like they can't make ropes out of bran, so too, he's not going to be obligated to bring this be'er, bring this well, into the city. So again here, So they said to him, the be'er is out in the field. The well is out in the field, the be'er representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they said to him that the well is found outside the world because the Shekhinah left. When the Korban HaBayit happened, the Shekhinah already left you, and he's not around anymore. So go bring him back. Be'erot and Mazalot of the Kuchavim are found in the city. Your well, you guys were kicked out. Your well is outside of the city. Our well is in the city. Go bring your well from outside the city into the city. So he says back to them, bring me strong ropes, and I'll bring it in from outside of this city. What's being represented here is that the tzaddikim, called Dor Vador, they're able to bring the Shekhinah back. So even though we don't have the Mikdash, even though we don't have the Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, the tzaddikim, called Dor Vador, they are the Merkava for the Shekhinah, and they can bring the Shekhinah down. And that's what it means. Chevel Nachlato. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the tzaddikim are able, through the rope, that's what he's saying to them, you bring me a rope, I'll bring the be'er back. You bring me the tzaddikim, we have tzaddikim, we will be able to bring the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah will still be with us and present with us. So then they said to him, we have Islan Rechayo, we have a mill, obviously made out of stone, that is broken. So we want you to fix this mill. Islan Rechayo, we have this mill, the Tvira, that broke. Chayte, stitch it up. Go ahead and stitch it up. So Amar says, Krucho limine garde. Says, sure, no problem. Take out the threads that were there originally. Vachte, and then I'll restitch it. I mean, like the tailor does. In order to fix something, he's got to take out what was there originally. If you take out what was there originally, I'll put back in the new strings. So here again, they were hinting to him that Bnei Israel used to eat Mishulchan Gavoa. They used to benefit. They used to be in the land of Hashem. They used to be in the Mikdash. They used to eat Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachin. So that's what the Rechaya is. The Rechaya represents the fact that they used to be the chosen nation that ate from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's gone now. So he again answered them that the tzaddik is Gomel Tzur, is like a rock. And just like you can't take threads out of the rock, so too, the tzur will always remain there. That's the same thing over here. That just like you want to suggest that I should stitch up the rock to put things back together, which is impossible, I'll say to you that the rock breaking or being pushed away is also impossible because you can't take threads out of the rock. And like the tzur always remains there. The tzaddik will always remain there to be that connection between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he next asked them, what about a patch? If I have Mishra de Sakina, I have a patch, a garden patch made of knives, that's growing knives. But my katle, what are you going to harvest it with? So he says, Bikarno de Chamro, the horn of the donkey. They said to him, Mi karno de Chamro? Says, is there a horn to it? And donkeys don't have horns. So he says, then, Mi ika Mishra de Sakina. Since when is there a patch of knives? I mean, knives don't grow on the ground. Again, here the Nimshal, according to the Mashal, is that they're saying to him, there are many things that stop you from practicing as Jews. You're in Galut, you're downtrodden, you have many tzarot, you've been subjugated by the other nations, and that's what the knives mean. There's so many knives there. And how are you able to worship Hashem properly if you are in the Galut and you're under the dominion of the other nations? According to Marshall, he answered like the Gemara in Baba Kama that says, Mishalche regala shor v'achamor, kosek b'torah, u'gumulet chasidim zocheh v'nachalat yisachar. That the person who is involved in Torah and Gemilat Chasadim is able to overcome those issues and will be Zocheh the Olam Haba. And so to over here, that's what the Chamor represents. Chamor represents this idea of Chamor Garem. Chamor Garem, which is the Bracha by Yisachar, the one who carries the load of Torah, the one who carries the load of Torah and Gemilat Chasadim, they will be Zocheh the Olam Haba. So despite the fact that there are other miniyot, there are other things that are causing an inability to practice the Torah, nevertheless, if we hang on and we learn the Torah properly and we take on the Olat Torah and we do Gemilat Chasadim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. So next, they go bring him 2 eggs. They brought him 2 eggs. I'm like, they tell us which one is from a white chicken and which one is from a black chicken. So obviously it's something that you can't tell apart. The Mashar again here says that we saw before that the chicken has 21 days of gestation. So they were hinting to him between the black and the white, that the black egg is referring to the Churban HaBayit, the 21 days between Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks. That period, they were hinting to him that there's no distinction. Just like the 3 weeks, Hashem rejected you and threw you out because of the Churban HaBayit, so too by the white. The white represents the 21 days of Tishrei, from the beginning of Tishrei until the last day of Hashanah Rabbah. That's when you have the din, that unique din that Bnei Yisrael has on Rosh Hashanah, the Umdim B'din, and it goes all the way to the Chatimat HaDin on Hashanah Rabbah, that's 21 days. That's what Marsha says. Marsha says that they said to him, listen, Just like Hashem rejected you, you can see that by the 3 weeks, the 21 days from Shiva Sabbath Tamas Tisha B'Av, so too now, your unique status in the holidays of Tishrei from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Rosh Hashanah Rambah, that's also been rejected. So he says back to them, that's not the case, because he says to them, he brought them two cheeses. Which one is from a white goat, and which one of them is from a black goat? So through this, he hinted back to them that the Bnei Israel have the two Se'irim, the Se'ir LaHashem and the Se'ir LaAzazel. And even though the Se'ir LaAzazel goes out of the Mikdash, doesn't go to Hashem, goes LaAzazel, and the Se'ir, one of the Se'irim goes LaHashem, so the white one being the Se'ir LaHashem, and the black one being the Se'ir LaAzazel, nevertheless, both of them in the end are Malbin Bnei Israel. They both whiten Bnei Israel. So even though it starts out as black, and it is the Azazel, in the end, it turns out to be white. They both end up white. And it says the same thing here. Just like you brought me those two eggs, and you said there was black and there was white, and now the black shows that the white isn't relevant anymore. He says, no, it's just the other way around. We see from Yom HaKippurim, the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, the Shnei Sirim, that even when there's black, even when the dark times, even B'nai Israel sin, still the Seir Azazel in the end will end up being white. It'll end up being Malabein Vanot to B'nai Israel. So to over here, the 21 days that are between Tishrei and Hashanah Rabbah, they will be white, yes, and they're always white. The black days that are between Shiva Sarah B'Talmuz and Tisha B'Av, they will one day turn white again. They will come back and Hashem will take us back with Zman HaMashiach, and we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So the next question they asked them is, if you have Ritzutza Demit, if inside of a shell a chick in the egg dies, Mecha Nafek Ruchei, where does its spirit leave from? So here, this was an argument between them, again, whether there's Olam Haba. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya says that there is an afterlife, there is an Olam Haba. And they say, no, that a person's work is here on Olam Hazeh, and that's it. Well, their proof is, look, you have a chick that's inside of an egg, the chick dies, if it has a nefesh, has a neshama, the some sort of spiritual side to it, where does it go? How does it leave the egg? So he says back to them, Mehecha da'al nafak. From wherever it went in, that's where it'll go out. And just like the life force came into the egg, so too it can leave from the egg. So similar by human beings. The neshama that's given to a person comes from ma'al, comes from underneath the kisei akavod. And when a person dies, that neshama returns, goes back to underneath the kisei akavod. That's what we have by David HaMelech. It says, Shadei nefshmato tzura b'tzura chayim, attached to the everlasting life, the long life, and that's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the neshama comes from above and returns to above. And that was his point versus their point of being that, well, look, you see, the egg is totally sealed. It can't go back. I mean, the human life down below is all that's meaningful. There's nothing afterwards. There's nothing up above. Achvele mono delo shavi chavile. They said to him, show us a kli that's not worth its space or it's not worth its value. So Aita Bodja, he brought some sort of screen. Pashtua, he put it across the doorway. Lo batara, it didn't fit. I mean, it was too big for the doorway. Put the screen in the doorway to cover the doorway, but it was bigger than the doorway. So I'm like, I too, Mari. Or Mara, come here, bring a chisel, bring some sort of pickaxe. Sitru, break the door down so the door will be bigger and this will fit. It says, Hainumano de lo shavi chavile. Here is a utensil that's not worth its value because here, if you're gonna have to break down the doorway in order to use it. And therefore he says it's not worth it. You're going to smash the whole house or the whole doorway open just to make it fit properly. That's something that's not worth its money. So he says that's the difference between Bnei Israel and you. They're a kli that they suggested Bnei Israel are not a good kli, that Hashem rejected them, and therefore they're not worthwhile anymore. He says back to him, no, we are kelim chashuvim. And therefore we always have value. According to you, you're compared to the budya. You're compared to the kanim. And by the kanim, it's true, if you spread them out across the door, they're not worth breaking things down. They're not worth it. So since you are compared to a clay mouse, Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you. You're not worth the time they're around. Whereas Bnei Israel, which are domeh, the chayfetz or kli chashuv, therefore Hashem is willing to spend the time and the effort and to have Bnei Israel come back and wait for them to come back. And if you find something precious, and something that was very special to you, then it is worth breaking down the door in order to get to it. So too here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the Chavivim, Skulim Mikol HaAmim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will asin iflaot, to be mitaheras, to bring us back and to bring the Zman HaMashiach, which is not true for you, the Budya, these lowly Kanim, it's right, it's not worth the time, it's not worth the effort to break down the door. Right now, the story continues, that's the end of what the Mashar gives, trying to explain the deep questions that are going back and forth here. They're both Ramais to each other, and they didn't understand him. He was able to outwit them, overcome them, because even when they asked him to give these hints back and forth between Chachmat Elokit and Chachmat HaTeva, whenever they questioned him in Chachmat HaTeva, he was able to understand it and respond. When he spoke to them in Chachmat Elokit, they did not understand it. For instance, the case by the Kudanita, by the mule. They say he gave them some explanation, and they say, oh, the Kudanita doesn't give birth, because they didn't understand what he was saying. So he had beat them at their own game. And therefore, they have to acquiesce now to his request. Aitinu kochad b'chad. He brought each one of them to the boat to eat with him. And he put them in one of the rooms. Kichazes shitin bistikari. When he saw in the room that there were another 60 seats, Amar kulu chavrai lahachato. The remainder of my friends are going to come here, so I'll wait here. They're going to begin the meal here, and then the others are going to join us. So I brought each one of them to those 60 rooms. Each one had 60 cushions. Each one thinking that the remainder of the chachamim were going to come with him. Amar le sipuno, he tells the captain of the ship, Shari spinatech, let's go, we're out of here. When he left, Shakal Afrom Yafrayo. Before he left, he took some of the dirt from by the Athenian Academy to bring with him. Kimatu le Beblie, when they reached this place called Beblie. Beblie, according to Rashi, is Maim Shub Okeanus, the water in the Okeanus. Now, some translate Okeanus as the Mediterranean, others translate the Okeanus as the Atlantic Ocean. Shabalim called Maimot Shabalam. Over there is the place where all the waters of the world pour into. Shnuflim bo, umevim oto ada to home, they go down to the depths, upotototam, and then it spits them out in all different locations in the world. So all the water that goes in the world flows to this point, and then this point flows down into the Tahom, goes into the depths, and from the depths it pushes the water back out to all the different locations. So that's the place they went to, according to Rashi. Tosafot says, V'itakeh Meblie is Shem Makom. It's the name of a place, not necessarily a location has these magical features to it. Malei Kuza de Mayo, Meblie. They went ahead and they filled up a jug worth of water from that place. Over here, it's not clear who took the jug of water. It was he who took the water or the Chachamim from Athens that took the water. Kadatu, when he got to the destination, Okimnu Kame Kezar, he brought them to the sea. He says, Chazan Odaave Mane. He brought them to the Caesar. He says, look, I did what you asked me to do. I brought you back the Chachamim of the Athenian Academy. So Chazan Odaave Mane, he saw that they were despondent, that they didn't look like these were wise men. Amalei Hani Lav Ninu, these can't be them. These are them. So then Shakal Me'afrayu, he took their dirt that he had brought from Athens, Vishad Eli, and then he spread it on top of them. Actually, Ape Malko. Then they smelled their earth. They felt like they were at home again. And then they started to be brazen towards the Caesar, the Caesar. Well, hey. So the Caesar now says to them, realizing that these are the wise men of Athens, but because they're acting inappropriately, says, called Ba'it, Avri Behu. I give you permission to do what you like with them. So Aitino Mayo, the Aitim Bebli, brings the water that they had taken from that place in the ocean, Bebli, Shadino Betigda. He spilled it into, here is different, the Lishonot. Either Tigda is a pit in the ground, or Tigda, as Rashi says, is Bekli, some sort of utensil. So a Chavit or a barrel, he pours the water in there. Malu Aluhu. Fill this, either this ditch in the ground, which would make the most sense, or fill up this chavit or pitcher that is full here. Malu vizilu luchu, because if you fill this up, I'll let you go free. Malu vishadu bei kameh, go ahead, and they filled it up, they filled it out. Kama kamayu baluhu. They kept throwing water and it kept swallowing it up. According to Rashi, that they took the water from this place where all the waters of the world are swallowed up. So this water too was that type of water that just continued to swallow up all the water that went in there, and they could never fill up the utensils that were there. So malo ad shamit katfeo, they kept trying to fill it until their shoulders dislocated. Ubaluluhu bazo, and they were swallowed up by this water, and they went away. Again, indicating, I would say, in line with the thoughts of the Marsha, that along the way, the wise men of Athens who thought that they were the true chosen ones and that they would last forever, that once again, the world always swallows up these people, whoever thinks they're on top, whoever thinks that they are the great ones. The history shows that they're always swallowed up, and they're the ones that never last forever. There's only one peoples that has last forever and has been resilient through all this time, and that is Bnei Israel, who really are the chosen ones of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, with that, we'll end, and we'll start with the Mishnah tomorrow.